You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. On the previous show, on Wednesday, we broke down the best offensive lines in the NFL, and those assets for a lot of fantasy football skill position players, whether they're quarterbacks looking for top-flight pass protection or running backs looking for sturdy run blocking up front. Those were the best offensive lines, so check it out if you missed that. Here we're going to focus on the worst offensive lines. Yeah, we got to do the flip side of this, so we're going to do the bottom dozen in the NFL. And these are lines that you have to keep in mind when trying to make those decisions and choosing between players at different positions. So it's just a little bit of a guide. Some of these are actually improving, and they have some upside here to pull out of the bottom of the league, and some are just going in the wrong direction here. So we want to make you aware of those here, and yet another factor in our advanced scouting to finally figure out who we want to take there in our fantasy football drafts in August and where we want to invest team-wise, knowing that there's the offensive support for the production we need in fantasy football. So we'll get to those here in a moment. We'll count it down all the way to number 32 and worst in the league. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. All right, let's break it down, shall we? One offensive line that's slowly on its way up, but still in the bottom 12, we'll mention, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. So not the ideal situation here for Kenny Pickett as he tries to win the job over Mr. Trubisky. There's more of a concern there. The run blocking also wasn't great for Najee Harris last year, but the Steelers did make a concerted effort to make changes where they could. You have Dan Moore at left tackle. You have Kevin Dotson left guard. Mason Cole was a sneaky pickup at center. You have James Daniel, one of the better investments in free agency, the former Bears guard out of Iowa. He's now at right guard for the Steelers. And they also re-upped with Chukwuma Okorafor at right tackle. So he really was one of the better players there. So you get Cole and Daniels to try and improve the interior. There's an obvious direction here to try to get the interior set up to have better run blocking here for Najee Harris. Set things up off Harris to get the ball downfield deeper. If you look at the Steelers, that's exactly their blueprint right now. And the biggest problem last year was Ben Roethlisberger and that fading arm. Why did they get Trubisky? Trubisky has a big arm, and that's why they wanted that. And a guy with a little athleticism to buy time as well to get the ball downfield. Trubisky has that attribute, and so does Pickett, who is a very accurate deep ball thrower here for this team. So that's the intention. Then they add some weapons there. George Pickens, a big slot who can stretch the field out of Georgia to help Chase Claypool and make those big plays. We know Deontay Johnson can make those plays at times. And you had Calvin Austin out of Memphis, a quick and speedy slot type here to make those plays. So the Steelers are looking to have better protection to throw the ball downfield, but the way some of that is going to come out is with play action and having the sturdier running game and Harris getting more chunk runs here. So the Steelers are trying to accomplish that, and I think this group can help them do that a little bit better, but there are still some concerns. I think there's a bit of upside, but right now you can't put the Steelers there even in the middle echelon of offensive lines in the NFL right now, but it's good because it was actually a little bit worse last year near the bottom, and the Steelers have moved up a little bit in that list out of really getting near the bottom. They're right outside of the muddled middle there with the offensive lines. The next team didn't really have any changes here, but just fading players here overall. They have a lot of first-round picks invested in this offensive line. Here, this is the Atlanta Falcons. So you got Jake Matthews, the left tackle. He's still plugging along, but he's wearing down. You have Caleb McGarry at the other tackle, so invested there. You also have Chris Lindstrom at right guard, and Jalen Mayfield at left guard. And in the middle is Matt Hennessy. So It's pretty much the same group, but I just don't think this group is all that effective. I think they like the continuity and some of the pedigree here with the first round picks, but it just hasn't lived up to expectations, and you're getting a little bit long into the tooth with Matthews at the left side. So this is going to be something the Falcons are going to have to really address here around the corner, whether it's Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder or another quarterback coming in. This is going to be an issue that they should be a little bit better at the bookends with Matthews and McGarry, but that hasn't played to fruition. There's also been some durability issues over the years here that have worn these guys down. So that's something to look at. Running game was pretty decent. I think they're a better rushing, blocking team here in Atlanta. Part of it is a scheme makeup of Arthur Smith here, and we saw Cordarrelle Patterson be rather effective. But protecting the quarterback, getting it downfield, it's going to be tough here for this Falcons offense. We said they're a work in progress. Outside of Kyle Pitts in the passing game, they had to go get Bryan Edwards, Olamide Zaccheaus. There's not a lot here to look at in that passing game for the Falcons. It's a bit frustrating development here. So, again, not trusting much in the Falcons passing game and having limited trust in their running game traditionally with Patterson or whoever else they work in there, including Damian Williams and Tyler Allgeier. All right, let's go to the Panthers here. That's the next team that we bring up. And you look at some issues still carrying over, but they did work to change it. So this is an offensive line that could really improve from last year, but we're going to be a little bit modest with the projection, not put them near the bottom of the league, but coming on up, just like the Steelers. But you do that when you take a left tackle high. Ike Ikanwu is going to solidify left tackle. Taylor Moten, I think, was a little disappointing at right tackle after getting the franchise tag, so he's got to play a little bit better there. Next to Ikanwu is Pat Elflein. They need a little bit more interior help as well. They also invested in Bradley Bozeman, the former Raven. And Austin Corbett, there, he's bounced around, been with the Browns. He's at right guard here. So Ikanwu, Elflein, the two E's on the left side, Bozeman, Corbett, and Moten. So it's still very hard to trust Carolina's offense beyond Christian McCaffrey. I think the run blocking is going to be pretty superior here with Ikanwu holding down the fort as now the anchor on the left side. So they're in great shape there, Carolina. But it's going to be a situation, can they keep Sam Darnold better protected for this moment? It could be a different quarterback in the end, Matt Corral or someone outside here. But it's going to improve, but it all has to come together. Remember, continuity, cohesion, chemistry, all these buzz C words have to happen in the offensive line. That's hard when you're in transition there, even if you add some top-flight talent. Yeah, so we feel the same way about the Giants. That was another team that was all about getting an offensive lineman here. They get their right tackle in Evan Neal. From left to right, there's a lot of changes here, except for the guy left tackle, Andrew Thomas out of Georgia. He's still holding it down here. Now he has a bookend in Neal in between left guard Max Garcia. Center they got from the Bills, carried over with the Brian Daboll connection here, John Feliciano, and then a former Colt there at right guard, Mark Lewinsky. So they've made some changes, really trying to wholesale this, losing a Nate Solder. He was fading anyway. So Giants have an arrow pointing up as well. Neal, I think, is going to be a great plug-and-play player. We have to see what's happening in the middle. I think there are more plug guys in Garcia, Feliciano, and Lewinsky. I have high expectations for Neal, and I think having Neal is going to help Thomas here be better. So, yeah, the Panthers and Giants arrow pointing up, but still not far enough there where we consider those offensive lines a strength here. Again, they're working through the middle, and that's what you're hoping for with some of these teams. Because, again, you can't turn over these offensive lines overnight. You've got to invest a little bit, and these teams are doing that, especially the Panthers and Giants. All right, we'll get into the bottom eight there of offensive lines in the NFL. These are some optimistic teams, but we're going to get into some teams where we're a bit pessimistic there with their chances to have a good all-around offensive lines in 2022. I do have to tell you first about Built Bar. We've been asking and Built delivered. Built granola bars are here. Yes, this is an incredible announcement here. Built granola bars come in three unbelievable flavors here. And the players on the board are outstanding. Chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. Want to try all three flavors? You can get a mixed box at Built.com right now. These are so different from the bars and puffs. Yeah, yet another amazing product from Built. Built granola bars are loaded with granola. It's the perfect combination of crunch and chewiness. But just like bars and puffs, these babies are packed with protein and covered in 100% real chocolate. With 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar, Built granola bars will change your world. Built has cracked the code to better granola. They're perfect as a healthy snack to pack in your lunch, take on the road, or just eat on the go. They're made with collagen protein, and your body absorbs that more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits for you. So if you've been waiting for a healthy, delicious granola bar to hit the market, this is your time. And this is the time at Built. Go to Built.com right now to get the Built granola bars. 3 delicious these flavors to try. Chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, white chocolate berry. Don't miss out. You're going to get yours today. Just get there right now at Built.com. These are going to go flying off the shelves there. So check it out. Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, we will continue the show talking the worst offensive lines in the NFL and how that pertains to fantasy football here on a Thursday on Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, game recaps, and so much more, including the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, it is time to continue the show, and we are down to our 8th worst offensive line in the NFL. It is the Minnesota Vikings, and the new man on the Minnesota Vikings is Ed Ingram. They're going to plug and play him, likely at left guard. They really struggled there in the middle last year. So left to right, Christian Darrisaw, their first-round pick. He's got a lot of promise. Ed Ingram just drafted as a rookie. He's at left guard right now. Garrett Bradbury, they didn't pick up the option there on his fifth year. He's been a bust, all-out bust, hasn't really worked out. He's really struggled at center, so for now they have to plug and play and survive there. Chris Reed is your new starter at right guard. Remember, they had Ole Udo and some other people in there inside. And then Brian O'Neill rounds things out at right tackle. He's been okay, the pit product, but just hasn't been anything spectacular. So I'd say it's gone from an average offensive line to bad here in Minnesota. That's going to be a challenge here for Kevin O'Connell in this new offense. But I think they can scheme it up pretty well. So this is a team maybe that can work around this just because of zone blocking, maybe having the influence of O'Connell. But pushing the ball downfield is what they try to do with Kirk Cousins and his big arm here. So Vikings have been able to produce with Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, in the passing game and running game as needed, even with this liability here. But it is something that you weigh versus some of the more elite offenses there in the league. We talked about the Chargers being loaded there, and it's not at that level, and that can have some detriments at time here for the Vikings. So keep that in mind. Again, it is not great. It's not much of a support system here for what they're trying to do, but again, schemes and offensive skill personnel can kind of work around that for the Vikings. The Jaguars, this is a concern. Until you have some established help here, and also a big change, really a couple big changes here when you look at the Jaguars. Here, looking at Cam Robinson, he's back. He got that franchise tag to remain the left tackle. He's good. I don't think he's spectacular as a pass protector on the blind side for Trevor Lawrence. You have Ben Bartsch. I think he can be pretty good, left guard, but we got to see more. But then they're starting a rookie center. That can be tough in the year two of Trevor Lawrence, Luke Fortner. You also have basically a replacement for Andrew Norwell. But Norwell, I think, still had a few more good years left. I think Brandon Scherff is a big name, and they splurged in free agency. But Scherff is getting up there. He also has had some durability issues. So you look at that, you might have actually a downgrade in terms of availability from Norwell to Scherff. And then you have Juwan Taylor. He's been a bit disappointing as a first-round pick. They thought he could be left tackle, but he's kind of settled in at the right side. So the Jaguars, again, should be better than they are, but you do have a concern about a rookie center, Cam Robinson. Is he going to live up to being above average here, or is things going to go in a downward way, the way we saw Taylor Boten there, I think, with the Panthers sliding a little bit with his skill? Again, Fortner is the biggest concern. Taylor has just been a guy here, and Scherff, the availability issues are definitely a concern here as he gets older. So, yeah, it's not the best situation here for Trevor Lawrence under Doug Peterson and trying to turn things around the offense. The next team we'll bring up is the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, so a couple of shaky offensive lines in the AFC South. There's actually one more that's worse than both of these, so it's not the Colts. So I'll spoil it there. But look at the Titans. They've been taking some hits. Roger Saffold was the latest. They had Jack Conklin a few years ago. They've been trying to still fill that right tackle void right now. You have Dylan Radunes in there. You also had Quessenberry there, but he's gone. You have Nate Davis still at the right guard. So going left to right, you have Taylor Wand at left tackle. Aaron Brewer returns at left guard. Ben Jones is still there, but a year older. Same thing with Luan there at center. You have Nate Davis again returning to his role at right guard, and Radunes, a young player that has been a swing backup and now gets an opportunity maybe to start. So definitely some concerns again. A little bit of the Falcons factor here as they're getting a bit older there. It's not just that plug and play, great to line here. Still, I think they're better, of course, at run blocking and opening things up for Derrick Henry in that scheme and system, much like the Falcons do, as they scheme well in the running game to maximize their offensive line there. But pass protection, getting the ball downfield, especially adjusting to a new receiving core without A.J. Brown, and having to look at now the rookie Treylon Burks and Robert Woods, it's going to be a bit of an adjustment here for Ryan Tannehill. Can take some lumps here in pass protection. So again, schemes can sometimes overcome run blocking. It's really hard to do that if your protection can't hold up. All right, the number five worst offensive line in the NFL. Yeah, this is a bit of concern. Again, another team that a little bit better run blocking than protection, and they are fortunate to have a running quarterback. It's the Arizona Cardinals. You have a couple options here in DJ Humphreys, and you have Justin Pugh. Those are your left and tackle and left guard. Rodney Hudson at center. You got one Will Hernandez. Remember him from the Giants. He's kind of a plug and play at right guard here. And then Kelvin Beachum still hanging on. So Beachum, aging dude that they've had from the Steelers and Jaguars. Not a lot of trust there here in 2022 in this offensive line. A little bit aging there with Pugh and Hudson. Humphreys has been okay, but he hasn't really stood out here. Hernandez was never really a good player with the Giants. He was very disappointing with his run blocking there. So I think maybe this second opportunity between the veterans Hudson and Beachum could help. But yeah, some age concerns. That was a general feeling about the Cardinals roster last year. They had the average age higher than any team in the league there. So that kind of creeps into the offensive line ahead of Kyler Murray. But again, running scheme, Murray's running, having James Conner, that's an okay part. Again, pass protection is more the issue there with the Cardinals. All right, we will get to in our last four offensive line in our final segment here. And I got to tell you, it's an exciting time here for all things. And don't forget about Locked On NFL Draft. We're still talking about draft, looking ahead to 2023. Some great prospects, including Will Anderson of Alabama and his teammate, the quarterback, Bryce Young. And then don't forget about C.J. Stroud there at Ohio State. So a lot of definite prospects to watch already put on the radar early for 2023. Even stay there with the Buckeyes, Jackson Smith Enigma, the wide receiver, very special player. Looks like he could be an easy top five pick there in the Ja'Marr Chase vein for 2023. So check it out, Locked On NFL Draft here. Still talking about it in the offseason in NFL and college. All right, it is time to close the show here, looking at the top four offensive lines in the worst category. So top four that you want to maybe consider and think twice about investing too much in these offenses. So this is where you make that transition. You had the teams that were on the rise. Some were having some issues in the middle there at the bottom, but now we're going to the absolute bottom here. So the top of the bottom, here we go. The Texans, Laramie Tunsil still there, but aging, wearing down. I thought they would look for a replacement there. Didn't quite happen. They kept him. Kenyon Green is their first-round pick. He's going to be plugged at left guard here. Justin Britt, the former Seahawk, he's at center. A.J. Cann, the former Jaguar, he's at right guard. And Titus Howard has been pretty good for first-round pick for the Texans. But again, I think a little bit underwhelming. So not a lot of confidence here with Davis Mills and this potential here with the Texans. So yeah, it's tough. This running game is still in flux. We know he's going to run the ball between a bunch of guys, including Damian Pierce, the rookie, and Rex Burkhead, the veteran swing backup. We're not quite sure how the pecking order is going to go with Brandt Cooks, Chris Conley, and Nico Collins, and some of the weapons they have here, including John Metchie in the mix. So a lot of question marks about the Texans. The offensive line, I think on paper it looks better because you have Tunsil and Howard, but I think there's a bit of a fade here and puts them in the bottom four. That takes us to our 30th offensive line of the league, so third worst in the NFL. That belongs to the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I have some high hopes for Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas, but they're rookies. And Dwayne Brown, having him gone at left tackle, it's going to be a transition. So what you get from Cross and Lucas has to come through pretty quickly. They had Brandon Shell at the right side, so some things to watch there with the Seahawks. So, yeah, I think this Seahawks team definitely built for run blocking. This is good for Kenneth Walker. Another thing that lines up where I think Cross and Lucas are natural run blockers. Pass protection, you're not going to be sold anyway. Drew Locke might make you think twice investing too highly in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett if Locke is in the chair here with the shaky pass protection. So something to look at there with the Seahawks for sure. Definitely built to run the ball. They're trying to go old school with Pete Carroll. That's what they do. Circle back at the end of a career. What worked? Marshawn Lynch, the power running game. Kenneth Walker, the third. It looks like he's going to be a big part of that with Rashad Penny. We talked about his hammy. We talked about Chris Carson still having some issues staying healthy. Seahawks built to run block, but the pass protection going to have some major issues here in the 2022. Bears are next, and almost the worst. You have Tavon Jenkins. He's been disappointing right now, but they have some hopes for him. A second-round pick at left tackle. Cody Whitehairs continues to go at left guard. Sam Mustafa is your center. Yeah, Lucas Patrick was your pickup here from the Packers' style of offense as the Bears transition to that. Larry Borum returns at right tackle. So you didn't have a lot of investment here to improve this offense line, hoping that Jenkins can do well over Jason Peters here overall and can be a good successor, but a lot of question marks. They're not great for Justin Fields. Again, a better run blocking spot, and that's in general. These teams can handle run blocking through schemes and different players versus pass protection. So not as great for Justin Fields. Passable for David Montgomery just because of the way they can scheme it up, and Montgomery is a good runner with good vision, so keep that in mind. And finally, we will end it here looking at the Raiders, and not good at all. This is something you have to keep in mind with Derek Carr getting the ball downfield, and they might be more short to me anyway with Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller, but pushing the ball downfield is going to be hard. You have Colton Miller at the left side tackle. You have Denzel Good, plug and play at left guard. He's a journeyman. You have Andre James at center. He's so-so. Jermaine Illuminor, who comes over, former Patriot with Josh McDaniels, and Alex Leatherwood moves to right tackle. He has not delivered quite yet for the Raiders as a first-round pick. So Miller and Leatherwood could do a lot more at the bookends. That's a concern here. Running game could be in transition. There was Zamir White potentially displacing Josh Jacobs and Kenny Drake. So a lot of things to look at in Las Vegas, but the offensive line, they're leaving a lot to be desired there overall, I think. And that's why they're at the bottom. I think there are real concerns with the run blocking and pass protection to push the ball downfield. In Las Vegas, that could curb some of the excitement we have. Still going to look at Devontae Adams as an elite wide receiver. You're looking at Hunter Renfrow as a good wide receiver 3-2 with upside. Darren Waller, if healthy, is going to be tight end 1. But this offensive line is not going to help much give you those same explosive plays and the same chunk runs that you get with the backfield in transition. So that's it. That's a breakdown of the worst offensive lines, the ones that could break down here and not help your team that you're looking at in fantasy football offensive skill assets here in 2022. For Locked On Fantasy Football, for a look at the offensive line, this has been the hour. We'll end the week with a Friday's future special looking at the NFL MVP. So if you missed the best offensive line, check that out. Here was the worst offensive lines, and we'll close the week on a strong note here. For Locked On Fantasy Football, Vinny Iyer, have a great Thursday. Catch you to close the week on Friday.